Yes, it is that time of the week, a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show. Scott Fransky, of course, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as the Phillies have a rare, very rare Friday day off. I think the last time we had one of these was probably the day after opening day when they built in that Friday off day in case of weather. We have one today, though, so a Friday off day leading into the rest of the series against the New York Mets. Scott Fransky joins us right here on the Midday Show. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? Yeah, we got like 3 out of 5 Fridays off coming up.
Yeah, so what are you going to do today since you got Friday off?
We have a pool party.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, you will come by?
You know what? I don't like getting in the water, Scott. I ain't going to lie. I don't like being in the water.
Could be wolf eels in there.
It's all 11 to 12-year-olds. It probably wouldn't be seen.
Might be sharks in the water. I just saw they had a video
sharks
of some
in Scott's
sharks.
Pool.
I'm just saying. I ain't know. You know, you said pool party. You know? I don't know.
Well, Scott, a nice Friday pool party sounds great. And the Phillies getting back on track this weekend would be great, too. Scott, it's been an interesting week here. And obviously, the biggest news off of the end of last week is losing Adolis Garcia, which opens up right field now. And it feels like the Phillies have some short-term options. And Gabriel Rincones hit his first home run on Monday night. But it does feel like a spot that they're going to have to attack here probably by the trade deadline to get a fill-in.
I would guess they're talking, they're trying, you know, they're seeing what's out there. It's a shame because I do think, obviously he was great defensively, did a lot for them defensively. And there was still some upside there. I don't know if he would have really fully tapped into it, but we were starting to see it. It's a shame because that might have been a bat that you wouldn't have had to go out and, you know, get, so to speak, if he could have tapped into some of that upside. But, yeah, I think they're going to have to look for that. I think they're obviously probably looking for another starter, some starting depth. And I wouldn't be shocked if they're looking for left-handed relief help, too.
You know, speaking of that, because we saw Andrew Painter going down and then Aaron Nola having his troubles yesterday, how concerned should we be about Aaron Nola and him basically, you know, trying to bounce back from the start he had yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Nola was okay yesterday. He certainly kept you in the game. He's not one of your top three at this point. He's your fourth starter. It's pretty clear. You discard the money and the years and all that, all the pedigree and all that. It's clear that he's the fourth starter. So, he kept him in the game. Unlike the day before when it was, you know, Andrew was just overwhelmed and, those are the days you can't keep going with stuff like that. So I think they had to make that change. But, I don't know what they're going to do on Tuesday. I guess they have some, you know, some options. Could be Bryce Wilson, could be Alan Ronhell down at AAA. I don't know. None of them are going to jump off the page, but they need something that's a little more competitive every fifth day. I think Matt Gelb had it. Joe, I don't know if you read it. The difference between those two start Painter and Walker starts versus everybody else, it's crazy. The win run differential, the win loss record, it's off the charts bad. So they need just somebody who's serviceable in that spot.
Yeah, I did see that. And it does, you know, because you still look at it, Scott, the standings, and the Phillies have, I think it's the worst run differential in the division, even though we've watched them play and win at a very high clip, right, since the managerial change just really got back. I think most nights we don't feel that. We don't think, you know, that they play like that, but that's the numbers, and that kind of explains it in a significant way. Scott, when it comes to Painter, when you were watching him this year, what did you think was the biggest issue? I mean, obviously the results were not good to the point where I think they had no choice but to send him back down and try to help him out here. But to me, it's not so much a stuff thing. I mean, he still throws hard and he's got the break and stuff can go. It just felt like a combination of his fastball, they were on it and it wasn't moving enough and he was getting rocked on it. And two, I felt the last few starts, maybe his confidence really started to go the other way on him.
I mean, I don't know how it couldn't. Honestly, as a human being and as a young player, first time in the league, I don't know how it couldn't have gone south on him. Pardon me. The fastball was obviously a problem, and he started running from it early. He would try, but he would run from it, and then it's sweepers and sliders and splits, and you know there were some moments there where you felt like maybe he's doing something. I just think he needs some mechanical changes. I think And I'm no expert on pitching, but everybody who's watched him, all these ex-pitchers that watch him that we talk to, and they're like, yeah, he's got to get down the mound a little better. He's got to extend. He's got to get on top of the hitter. He's got to get down the slope of the mound. He's 6'7", and he doesn't even tap into his lower half, really, the way that I think a lot of people think that he could. And again, I don't know why that is or what, if there's something that's more comfortable for him doing it a different way. I just think there have been moments recently. They've tried to get him in bullpens to be more aggressive, get down the mound, stop being so rotational, yet towards the catcher. And there would be those flashes where that it looks like he's doing it. And then all of a sudden he's, spin, you know, off speed, spin. And you're like, what, where'd the fastball go? We have to pitch off that. And I just think he can't do it up here. The changes he has to make, he can't do it up here. There's too much pressure. There's too much at stake. He's got to be able to do it in the minor leagues. And, he's not the first kid to go back, right? A lot of kids do. And I would assume he'll be back and give it another go at some point. Maybe this, maybe not too long from now. Maybe not this year. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not the first. He won't be the last. That's for sure. And I still think there's something there. It's a matter of, how long until they can find that and he earns it back here. Scott Fransky with us on a Fransky Friday. Scott, we got a peek at the lineup a couple days ago without Trey Turner when he was out nursing the, after he got hit by the pitch the first time this week. I hit twice this week. But it had Marsh, it had Schwarber, it had Harper. It was fun to see. Obviously, those guys have been their three best this season in terms of offensively. But then Trey got back in the other day, and Don Mattingly put him right back at the top. What did you think of the lineup the other night when it was those three lefties and they kind of ambushed the righty? And as time goes on, do you think we could see that again if Trey doesn't get going and those top three lefty hitters continue to hit?
Yeah, we could see it again. It will be somewhat matchup dependent. Obviously, I think there needs to be a right-handed pitcher on the mound. I think if there's a right-handed pitcher on the mound, Don Mattingly is far more willing to go to it. If there's not a lot of lefties in the pen, he's far more willing to go to it. I actually advocated for Marsh to be the leadoff man with Turner hitting second, Harper hitting third, and Schwarber hitting fourth. Marsh is doing things right now that I think are great, and I think, to me, it profiles well the way he's hitting. If Trey was competing for the batting title again, I wouldn't say it. I would leave Trey there, but he's not, and I would be fine if they went Marsh, Schwarber, Harper, or Marsh, Harper, Schwarber, whatever you want to do, but put those three guys at the top. I'm fine with it. Schwarber for sure, and Marsh and Harper to an extent are not your typical left on left guys. They're a little better. Schwarber certainly is. Marsh has improved. Harper's been, held his own over the years. So I wouldn't be super worried about a bunch of matchups, but if Trey doesn't get it going, I think they have to consider doing it more. I still think Don Mattingly said this week, we are our best selves if Trey Turner is going well. And that's obviously true. And if they want to get where they're going, where they want to go, Trey needs to get it going. And Trey is best served at the top of the lineup because of all the other things he does, right? And, steal bases, go first to third, score from first on a double, these kinds of things. That's important. And the Phillies are going to be their best if he comes, figures it out and is at the top of the order somewhere. But if he doesn't, they got to make other options. And I think Marsh is a decent option.
Scott, how do you view the hierarchy of the bullpen right now with Brad Keller on the injury list? Now, Brad wasn't pitching well. He has not, pitched this year the way he did last year with the Cubs. But still, he had been their eighth inning guy. And it seemed like a couple weeks ago when we talked about this and Don Mattingly talked about it, he was a little hesitant to just move Kerkering there. Well, now they're without Keller for a while. Alvarado has struggled. Banks now back to AAA. The more I watch this, the more I'm wondering how long until Jonathan Bolin becomes the next guy that we talk about. Because I've been mostly impressed, Scott, with Bolin and what they've gotten out of him, you know, bringing him in this year. How do you view that hierarchy to get to Duran? And do you think Bolin starts to become more of a guy they trust in big spots?
Well, right now, you don't have any choice. You have to give him an opportunity to do it. Him and Tim Mesa both, I think, are going to end up getting a little more leverage in the seventh inning or whatever. Because Kerkering's got to go to the eighth now with Keller out. I mean, you know, obviously there's some matchup dependency there, but Kerkering is better against left, has been better in his career, and is better now against left-handed hitters than Jonathan Bolin. Bolin's trying to figure it out. He's trying to work on this changeup. He's made some adjustments to it. He's throwing it a lot more this year. Been a pitch that's given him problems throughout his career, and that's why lefties have given him problems. But this year, he's starting to come with that changeup. We saw him hit 100 the other night. I didn't realize this. He's never hit 100 before, and he was doing it down at the knees. I mean, it was pretty sick stuff. And if a left-hand hitter is thinking, oh, he's going to flash that changeup at me, and then he's going to throw 100, well, I'm with you, Joe. I think he gets more leverage spots. But I think for now it's probably seventh inning, he and Mesa, depending on matchups, Kerkering to the eighth, Duran, obviously, the ninth. But because Alvarado, it's been a struggle for him. It's been a real struggle. And this is not just this year. It's a couple of years now where lefties have really started to track him pretty well. So there's something going on there. Lefties didn't used to hit him like that. There's something going on now. I don't know what it is, but they're seeing him pretty good. And they're hitting over 400 against him, and that just can't be.
No, I can't. Not in those leverage moments like last night. Scott,
right.
It's too much. And I think it hits per nine. It's like over 12. It's just way too many, you know, balls in play and hits. Scott, yeah. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy a rare Friday off, a few of these, and have fun at the pool party.
Yeah, have fun, man.
All right. Pew, let me know.
I'll let you know.
Watch out for the sharks.
There he goes. Scott Fransky with us every Friday. When was the last time you went to a pool party? It's been a while for me.
A pool party?
Yeah, like, we don't have a pool, so we don't have pool parties.
Wait, I mean, a minute.
We have the scoop.
Well, that's true. And like my kids go to pool parties. Like other people in the neighborhood have pools, but like
people pee in the pool, so I ain't really trying.
That's true.
People be peeing it. I ain't trying to go.
Didn't
to
we
pool
put up parties. A poll one day and it was like 50-50? Do you pee in the pool?
I think it was like a be honest.
It was an alarming number of people that said yeah.
Yeah, people pee in the pool, man. I'm not.
You think adults really do that?
Yes. Yeah, because they're too lazy to go, especially if they're drinking.
Okay, hold on. Here's my question. So if it's your own pool, that's one thing, right? Then that's your decision and it's your own pool, and the people who live with got to deal with that. But do you think adults would actually do it at a pool party?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. There could be like 20
especially if you're
people.
Drinking, yeah, dude. You don't want to get out of the pool.
Yeah, you've been drinking already wet.
Yeah, but if you're a guy, you just go in the corner behind the shed. You don't even have to go inside to pee.
You know, yeah, but people do that. People
yeah, you'd be. Nasty. I mean, you'd be surprised. I'd say you'd be surprised, but you might not. So I think I heard Olivia Rodrigo like mention that she could smell the grown men in diapers that were in the front row at her concert.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
So, like, yeah, people do that.
Well, I mean, diapers is a whole nother. Well, but, ball of wax.
So think to yourself, if there are men that are going to be wearing diapers to go to the front row of an Olivia Rodrigo concert, there's probably some overlap with urinating in the pool.
There might be. I would imagine, though, diapers is a separate issue. That's like a medical condition. To me, the peeing in the pool is just laziness. I mean, that's just like,
but don't they put charcoal in the diapers so that you can't really smell the pee?
Charcoal?
Well, because it's
like
it's
black.
It's, well, no, it's called charcoal, but it's supposed to like they do in a
toothpaste.
No, in a
there's charcoal toothpaste.
The cat, what's it called when the cats do when they go
litter box.
Yeah, I think they put charcoal in it to try to in the diaper to keep it from smelling.
That would make sense. Yeah, I mean, you don't mean like charcoal you grill with.
No, I think it's called charcoal, but it's the absorbing and it's supposed to block the smell or something.
Well, I hope I don't ever have to know about this, but if I do, I appreciate everyone for the help on the information here.
You guys are aging.
Yeah, well, upper room. We're not that close.
Wait a minute,
yet.
I just Googled it. Let me see.
Okay, what do we got?
Yes, activated charcoal or bamboo charcoal is used in adult diapers. It is typically incorporated into washable clothes, inserts, with specialized disposable products to control odors, manage moisture, and fight bacteria.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
It makes, I didn't never heard of it, but it, I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. I feel like he's a good caller for this part of the show. Jeff, what's up, pal?
Hugh, I'm glad you're still with us.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hey.
We're all good. Hey. We're all good, Jeff. What's up?
All right. Man. All right, a couple things. Philly's last. Mm-hmm. This thing about the Jalen Hurts, I'm more in line with you on this because – Joe, you were jumping in and out of the stats matter thing. Like, I don't understand. I sort of understand where you're coming from because, on one hand, the Super Bowl loss, Jalen played great.
Right.
And there's been games where the other one that they won, he also played great.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense was awesome. I just know that for this team, he's the best guy because sometimes a quarterback just has to not lose the game. And sometimes he's got to step up and win it. And he's done that both ways quite a few times.
Yeah, and I think
– I don't think the stats for the quarterback is – I'm more aligned with Kyle on that, where it's not as black and white as people might think it is.
Yeah, well, so I agree with Kyle on that. I think – I guess for me, the way I would frame it is I just feel like we go too far with any of these guys, not just Jalen, with the wins and losses kind of guiding the whole thing of how we talk about it. And that's why I brought up if Jalen played great this season, and for some reason, you know, they had a rash of injuries on defense, and they went 7-10. But every week I came in here every Monday and said, I think Jalen played well. Then, like, I feel like I'd be a hypocrite when the season ended and we're having a discussion on should they keep him, and I say no because they went 7-10. You know what I mean? Like, I would base my thought on how he played. Just like I will the other way, right? If they go 12-5, but he doesn't play well, then I won't necessarily just say, well, I want him back. You know, like that. I just think we get too caught up in it when I've seen so many seasons where quarterbacks play well and their team loses, or they play not so great and their team wins. I think it's we've gotten to a crazy point with it, but I get your point. I get Hugh's point.
The example I'll use is there's a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans that love Joe Burrow,
mm-hmm.
but they know by the end of the season there's a pretty good chance that team's going nowhere.
Yep.
So I would rather have Jalen and this team and this organization over a guy that fills up the stat sheet constantly but is constantly getting his ass beat on the field because the ownership doesn't want to pay for a defense.
Oh, of course. I mean,
does that
right.
make sense?
Yes. I mean, Jeff,
I'm totally
I think we'd all
Jalen.
Agree. Yeah.
He's the guy.
I think we'd all agree. The Eagles situation is way better than the Bengals, like with Jalen included.
Quick.
Yeah, of course.
On the Phillies, mm-hmm. they're really in a tough spot because we got two of our top prospects that are not doing well, and I'll put Painter in as a prospect because he's back in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Aiden Miller are both – they're not tradable right now. So hopefully by the trade deadline, maybe they will be, but I would trade any prospect, to be honest with you, to get another starter or a big bat. That's the thing. It's not – we need both. So it's kind of like pick your poison. What do we want?
Well, we do need both.
But we don't have much leverage.
And now we don't. And it makes it hard because they have 6 weeks to decide what they need the most of and what they're going to put their eggs in which basket. Jeff, what do you got for his Father's Day gift, either a bad one you've gotten or a funny one you could give?
Well, the bad one is always like some type of clothing because I have a January birthday and Christmas time, it's all the same to me.
Right.
I always get the crappy gift like a scarf or a pair of socks. My brother and sister were born in the summer. They got all the cool stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I will say this. The coolest Father's Day gift I got was a autographed collage picture of Steve Carlton, Mike Schmidt, Pete Rose.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty
that
cool.
That's a great one. Yeah, that's
it. It is. Yeah,
I don't care about your best gift.
That's
we wanted a bad one.
Jeff, well, he said socks. Jeff, good phone call. We appreciate it. Yeah, no one wants socks until you run out of socks and you wish you had more socks.
See, I don't wear socks, so it don't make no difference.
I think, well, huh?
I don't wear socks.
At all?
Nah.
Do you get blisters?
I only wear socks when I'm wearing galoshes. Like, I got to wear them with galoshes.
Huh.
But no, outside of that, no.
Do you own socks?
I have a pair. Yeah. I have, like, 3 or 4 pairs.
How could you not?
Yeah, well, I got it. Like, if I wear galoshes. But, like, normally socks is not,
that's
like.
Amazing.
No, wow. Socks is not, like, some
of them. You know, I probably have, I don't know, 40 pairs of socks.
Oh, and dude, how many have you lost? How many single pairs
do
you have?
I lose a pair every time I do laundry.
Yeah,
or
crazy.
I lose a match for one every single time. Every time.
I also have had a lot with, you know, the dogs over the years. They get them, and then there's a little slight hole in them, right? Because they chew them up. So,
yeah.
You need new socks. Wow. Imagine life with only 3 or 4 pairs of socks.
It's not bad. I don't mind wearing socks.
No.
I don't like wearing them now.
Were you always like this, or did you get liberated
from
socks?
I think
I
got older. You know what? You know what? I remember I played with Mo Lewis. Mo Lewis never wore socks. He would cut his socks out to let his toes like wiggle.
Feels
but he would have to wear it. Yeah, it's liberating.
Did you wear them when you played? You had to wear them when
I had
played.
When I played. Yeah. Yeah, but when I got older, I just stopped wearing them. Sweaty feet. Sweaty feet.
It's about the blisters for me. Like,
my
blisters. My feet get cooked if I don't wear socks. Man.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine a life without socks. I mean, I'm actually just kind of envious of Hugh that he could live life without socks.
Just imagine life without socks and drawers. It's liberating.
Liberating. Hold on.
Sitting over there without drawers on?
Oh, every day. Breathing. Just breathing. Every day. Mm-hmm. Every day.
All right. We go from no draws Douglas to Aaron in San Diego. Aaron?
Good effing afternoon, Philadelphia.
All right, Aaron.
And we're trying to move past
Aaron,
that, Aaron. It always takes Aaron to point out the stuff that we're trying to, like...
Elephant in the room.
Yeah, I've tried to tell you Aaron is the worst.
Oh, dude.
I've tried to tell you.
And I am sure Blue Jeans Larkin and
Enough,
the Odyssey
please.
Upper Management is listening. Okay? I'm going to tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, and Kyle Quinn have the best freaking show on radio. You guys, Hugh Douglas, you are absolutely positively cooking with high quality,
thick cut
bacon grease.
Aaron, you ain't helping my calls out right now, bro.
How about we call it this? The most unpredictable audio you'll ever hear, the Midday Show. Aaron, what do you got on the Phillies?
God help us.
Well, I actually, and it's the Jalen Hurts thing is tiring, dude. But, you know, you brought up a couple points earlier, and you brought up Troy Aikman, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I know that previously you have brought up Dan Marino, and you've compared the two.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the question, Joe Giglio.
Okay.
Who is a better quarterback, Dan Marino or Troy Aikman?
Dan Marino.
Okay, so now, if you pulled Troy Aikman into an office and said, Troy, you can switch places and have the career that Dan Marino had. Do you think that he would take that in at any point?
Sure. I mean, he might. I mean, I don't know what he...
I don't know.
But the outcome for both of them is the same, though. So, but I think he's talking about the... He's talking about the Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, he's a Super Bowl champion.
Well, AJ Brown just left because he didn't care about the Super Bowl. How do you know what anyone cares about?
So I'll answer your questions. My instinct would be that he would want to win. So I'll go along. I'll answer your question. I'll say, yeah, he'd switch. Aaron, but let me ask you a question. If you asked Dan Marino, who's a better player, you or Troy Aikman, do you think he would say Troy Aikman?
I am not done.
Cook him, Aaron. Cook him.
If you pull Dan Marino mm-hmm. into an office, and you asked him, would he rather trade spots with Troy Aikman and have Troy Aikman's career as opposed to his career? At this stage in his life, I guarantee you that he would switch in a heartbeat because the Super Bowls are so important to quarterbacks. Stats are just a secondary thing. Now, Dan Marino may have been the better quarterback, but another perspective on it is that Dan Marino's ego got the better of him, and he was unwilling to sacrifice stats for the betterment of the team, and he wanted to throw the ball all over the field, and come playoff time in cold weather, throwing the ball is not as effective as running the ball, and that's why he never won a Super Bowl.
We're blaming Dan Marino for him not winning? It's Dan Marino's fault that the Dolphins
didn't win? But you don't understand. The words that you and Kyle put out on the airways is kind of like saying Joe Montana isn't a Super Bowl champion. The 49ers are a Super Bowl champion, you know, or Joe Montana, you know, he earned his Hall of Fame career by throwing 5-yard outs or 10-yard slants to Jonathan Taylor and Jerry Rice.
Joe Montana won MVPs of the league. He didn't just win Super Bowls. He was voted the best player in the league.
Jalen Hurts was in the running for NFL MVPs multiple seasons.
He received once. He received votes one time for the MVP award, one single season, 2022. Stop. We can't just make things up. Just because FanDuel put out odds in November, that's not in the running. In the running is votes. Jalen got votes one time. He was awesome. I say this all the time. I thought he was amazing in 2022. I would have given him the MVP of the league. MVP of the NFL. I thought he was that good. I thought before he got hurt, he was the best player in pro football. But that hasn't happened since then. I don't get the Marino thing. Marino is a better player than Troy Aikman.
He's talking about the accomplishments and everything, because at some point, and I know, you know, Kyle talked about how AJ left a Super Bowl winning team. For some people, winning the Super Bowl was more coveted than having major stats. And I think that's where I come down with it when it comes to him, because you have a lot of quarterbacks that are more stat chasers than anything. And Jalen's not your traditional quarterback. He's not. And this year, like we've been talking about, he has to play better because the Eagles want, when you talk about the money that they've doled out to the receivers and the running back and everything, they want better play from that position.
Sure.
But the first 5 years of Jalen's career were phenomenal.
Yeah, very good.
And the fact that, you know, he has been able to accomplish so much in a short period of time, that's what it's talking about, and doing it his way. You know, that's the biggest thing.
I actually think we don't talk enough about Jalen's performance and where he ranks in touchdowns and yards and that. I think we diminish it by just making about wins and losses. Jalen has done a lot in five seasons. I agree with you, right? I mean, he probably has in his first 5 or 6 years. I would think he might be top 10 all time in touchdowns if you include rushing and passing. I think so. We don't talk enough about that. We talk all about the winning. I just look at it as quarterback wins, not just a quarterback stat. 215-592-9494. The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you can trade the entire tournament on Cal Street. Cal Street can trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. We have ourselves a game here tonight, by the way, here in Philadelphia. I think the whole World Cup has been awesome so far. Can't wait to watch tonight, the game here in Philadelphia, and everything moving forward in the World Cup. Right now, if you look at the futures on Kalshi, France, they're up to 9. They're trading at 19% now to win it all, which means a $100 trade on France will pay out $495.50. That's where my money is. On Kalshi, you're trading against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house, and as the probability changes, you could buy in and out of your position for a limited time. Download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. K-A-L-S-H-I, Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game.
And we France.
Welcome back. Well, we're friends. We're always friends here on the Midday Show. But one thing that it drives a wedge between friends, Hugh, is the top 11 list on WIP once a year.
Yes, it does.
So the afternoon show has been counting down the top 11 list. So we've gotten to the point where I think we can accurately guess who will be the top three in some order, right? We haven't heard Kyle Schwarber's name on the list yet.
Mm-mm.
We haven't heard Christopher Sanchez. We haven't heard Zach Wheeler. So it sounds like, unless one of those guys somehow didn't make the list, which would be crazy, I think the Phillies are going to come 1, 2, 3 on the list. That, Hugh, does that surprise you? It surprised me a little bit that we're going to get Phillies 1, 2, and 3. Yesterday they unveiled, was it Quinion? Was it 4, I think? Well,
I think that's probably why I had
it. Are you surprised Phillies 1, 2, and 3?
Nah, no, because we're in the throes of the Philly season. And to be honest, when I started my list, Kyle would have probably been, I think he's pretty high on my list. I can't remember right now.
Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I thought you were talking about
It was talking about Sanchez was one. Mm-hmm. Bryce was pretty high on the list. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me because we're in the throes of the Philly season right now.
As I pull the list up that they, you know, they continue to unveil it and they'll continue to through today. I guess they're going to finish Monday. I think they might be finishing Monday. I don't think Ike is with them today. So they're going to finish on Monday. But one thing that I did take a look at yesterday, and I thought, I think we made a mistake on this. Yes. So yesterday they unveiled Maxi 6, Harper 5, Quinion 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think the voting put Bryce Harper too high. I mean, obviously, Bryce Harper's been an excellent Philly. But for right now, I think 5 is too high. I had him 9 on my list. He was not great last year. And he's in a slump right now. He just hasn't, Hugh, I wouldn't call him great this year. I think he's been fine. He's been okay. I mean, we looked at his numbers this morning. They're very close to the numbers of last year, which is what Dave Dombrowski said was an elite. And I think we all deep down realized Dave was right. It was a matter of should he said that or not. I think 5 is too high for Bryce Harper at this stage.
You know what's funny? I think I had him pretty high on my list. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, he was like 3 or 4, 2 or 3, something like that. And it was during the time, I think I got caught up in what he was it looked like he was accomplishing when he started to work his way out of the slump. And I think to Kyle's point, when we started voting on this, that's when he started to regress a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
He did. But at that point, it was, you know, you're in the moment of what you see, and you're thinking that he's going to be on the uptick. And that's what it was. And Kyle Schwarber, that is, has been just kind of consistent.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why they were consistently on that. And again, I didn't put any offensive players on my list because I didn't feel like as a whole, as a collective, the offense played that well.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. I think that was an interesting angle you did, but no Eagles offensive players. I just, when I saw five for Harper, I'm like, I mean, we love him, and he's done a lot of things here, and he won an MVP in this uniform, but I don't think five. I think five is way too high for Bryce Harper at this point. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, we got a lot to get to here. Let's talk. Speaking of Harper, Tony in Berks County wants some of the idea of Harper back in the outfit. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good afternoon, Joe, you and Kyle, and happy Father's Day to you guys.
You too, Tony. What's up?
I'd also like to give an apology to Kyle. I talked over him a little bit when I was on hold. I usually try my best not to do that.
Oh, you talked?
Just don't ever let it happen again, and everything will be
okay. We're all good, Tony. We're all good.
So as far as Harper goes, you know, we talked about a month ago about where he was in the batting order. And at the time, Don Mattingly said, you know, Bryce Harper feels more comfortable hitting at three. And I'd like to contrast that with what the team said. You know, Dombrowski said yesterday, but we feel more comfortable with Bryce at first. Guys, I don't think this is a matter of Harper won't move to the outfield. I don't think he can anymore. Like, if you look at his Statcast page over the last couple of years, he's been getting slower and slower. He's been between the 40th and 50th percentile pretty much every season. And this offseason, he went out to what, like Germany or France or whatever, and had some sort of treatment that sounds like either blood doping or that thing Kobe did when he was 38 to eke out one more year. So I just don't know if his body can hold up to the wear and tear out in the outfield anymore.
So, Tony, it's an interesting perspective. You're probably onto something. Here's what I would say to it. And while you're probably right that he couldn't play the outfield the way he did 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, this team did make a World Series with Nick Castellanos in right and Kyle Schwarber in left. And I can't imagine even blood-spinning Bryce Harper would be much worse than those guys. So, and it would be a short-term thing. Tony, I don't think he can be an outfielder long-term. I think that ship has sailed. But, like, if we had an opportunity to get a real impact first baseman for 3 months, right, July, August, September, I guess 4 months, October, could we get away with Bryce in the outfield? That's kind of where my head is at with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about his defensive play, but like I said, I'm also worried about his body and whether or not he can hold up. I think there's a physical element, not just a performance element here.
Yeah, and you know what, Tony? Maybe that's what Dombrowski thinks, that he doesn't want to say it out loud.
That he can't do it anymore,
or he'd get hurt.
I mean,
if he did.
There's a possibility because yeah. I do recall when I first got here, there was talk about him, you know, his longevity and being hurt all the time, and they were trying to save him a little bit by moving him to first base. So that's probably a possibility. That's probably what they're probably thinking.
Tony, what are you thinking for us? Father's Day gift, a bad one you've gotten or you've given?
So a few years ago, I would say it was actually about 7 or 8, my sister and I took my father to a Phillies Father's Day game, and it was a good gift, but we didn't do great execution because it was the hottest day of the summer. It was like 100 degrees and 120 heat index, and we chose a right field line, no shade.
You know,
in those Hawaiian shirts by the second inning.
Oh, yeah, you're sweating right through those.
Yeah, that's a hot day.
I love going to baseball games, but when you're in a seat where the sun is just bare, you know, sometimes it's unbearable. Tony, we appreciate the phone call. You're just out there cooking.
Yeah. You know what a classic move that I used to pull when I was a kid?
Mm.
And I'm sure a lot of people do this too. You know, when it's Father's Day, you're like, let's do something I want to do. Or like, hey, Dad, like, it's Father's Day. Why don't you get that surf and turf? And then I end up eating it.
Yeah, it's not an altruistic thing.
Like, Dad, you love this.
Yeah. Why don't we do my favorite thing on your day? Yeah. And that seeps in.
That tracks.
Yeah.
That's usually what you end up doing anyway with your kids.
Dad, can we watch SpongeBob? It's Father's Day.
When the kid is young, you kind of have to, right? Because can't make them do what you like. We went to, they must have been 5 and 3. We went to Legoland. And
For Father's Day.
That's
your gift?
It was awesome because I got to play Legos with them. And that they, like, if we did something that was my interest, right. Like, what are they going to do?
Legoland is pretty cool.
Legoland was very fun.
Like, Dad, I know you love roller coasters. Six Flags.
Let's do it. All right. Let's go to Aaron in Germantown is up on WIP. Aaron.
What's up, gang?
Aaron, what's up?
Kyle, Joe, what's going on?
Aaron,
going
good on? Afternoon.
So I'm not going to lie. I've been on hold for so long, I kind of lost my vigor.
It's okay.
For what I wanted to say.
It's actually been like 20 minutes, dude.
I got hung up on. I called back.
Oh, okay. Right.
But I appreciate you taking my call.
We'll blame Kyle. So, go ahead.
This call is for Hugh. Hugh?
Yes.
Songwriter said, she don't want to be saved, don't save her. Okay?
So, Joe, like that famous songwriter Project Pat.
Yes, I'm listening.
She don't want to be saved. Joe, you keep moving the goalposts. I love you, but this Jalen Hurts thing, like this whole debate, you got to put this to bed.
Okay,
bro.
But hold on. So tell me how I'm moving the goalposts when I don't think wins are a quarterback stat. What am I moving here?
So it was a previous call that called in and said you judge Jalen Hurts off of stats, right? Not performance, but stats.
No, well, I said performance. When I talk about Jalen, I've done this since the minute he took the job. I just give you my opinion on his performance. Now, if they win, we're all in a better mood, obviously. If they lose, we're in a bad mood. But I give you my take on his performance.
If Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl every year, this conversation wouldn't even be up for debate. You keep trying to basically base his whole stature here or his job is on the line based off of last year's performance.
Yes.
Or the years prior to. None of it matters when we win the games. It's a team win.
It does matter. Wins. It does That's matter. It. Well, Aaron, it does. Because otherwise, why wouldn't the Eagles have re-signed him and given him a new contract?
I'm not in the front office, so I can't speak on that.
Yeah, my guess is because he didn't play well last year.
Well, you know, Aaron, to help you out a little bit, it's because if they're giving Jalen, say if they're going to give, I'm just throwing a number out there, and I probably going to give it to him. Say if they're going to give Jalen $200 million, that's going to make it harder for you to get other positions. You know what I mean? So
you got to move the money around.
But it's going to be harder, but it's easier if your quarterback is, say, for example, playing like Patrick Mahomes. And that's where the problem lies. Jalen has accomplished a lot, but now we're in a situation when you talk about Cooper DeJean, you talk about Quinyon Mitchell, you talk about Jalen Carter. We're on the cusp of having to pay those guys, and we have to probably give Jalen some more money. So you want to be for damn sure that Jalen is that guy. Because you're going to give him so much money. You're gonna have to let one of those other guys go. Mm. Like if you give Jalen
1,000%,
you know what I'm saying. So if you're giving Jalen $100 million, then you have to be comfortable knowing that Jalen's gonna do the things you need your quarterback to do to win because you're gonna be weaker on defense. That's where this whole conversation is coming from, and that's why the Eagles want to see that because to be fair to this, Jalen's accomplished a lot, and you know he has, but he's had two seasons where his numbers as far as throwing the football have not been where you want them to be for the type of money that he's making. Because, see, this is what it's about.
Rocky 3.
Yeah.
Rocky 3.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're talking about – it's like spending $200,000 for a Lamborghini, right, and you can't get that sucker to redline. And you're like, damn, well, I got a Lamborghini.
Or you putting in 84.
Oh, yeah, 84 octane. And you ain't, basically. And so that's where, for Jalen, all this trepidation is coming from because you talk about a quarterback that's in his sixth season going into, what was it, seven, six, whatever it is. You know,
six
massive
is a
number.
Starter, yeah.
Yeah. But he
has to
be better.
Since we crunch your numbers, I just thought about something.
What you got?
What if the conversation is Jalen's like, you know what? I'll take a pay cut to make sure everybody eat.
Well, that'd be awesome.
That'd be something different.
That would be. Aaron, that would
change. Maybe the narrative isn't that he is Jeffrey and Howie are holding out to pay him more so than he might be willing to. You know what? I don't need to be paid right now. Make sure everybody's good. Because it ain't about me. It's about the team. And I think Jalen's already. He's already. Demonstrated that.
Well, that'd be awesome.
And
it would change the conversation, Aaron. I mean, I think because a lot of the conversation we have, and Aaron, before you go, give us your Father's Day gift. Aaron fell off the line. All right, we appreciate you, Aaron. It would change the conversation, right? Hugh, a lot of the conversation we have is based on the idea, the implication or like the assumption that he's going to want more money, right? Because that's just the way it usually goes, right?
Yeah.
You started quarterbacks don't usually go backwards in their salary scale. They go up. And Mahomes just reset. If he would accept less or you know wanted to do that, it definitely changes the whole conversation because then how great he plays, it's not quite as important.
Yeah, because it also feels like, you know, because we're on our side looking in about this, that's not what his team wants. And that's me recklessly speculating because
his team by
his management team, yeah. they're trying to get him paid, you know, and it doesn't because, you know, when you talk about stories like this and you hear about stories when Tom Brady was getting paid, you always heard it was like Tom Brady's getting a pay cut. Oh, he's not making as much money as he could make because he's taking a little less mm-hmm. and things like that. But when you look at the squad, they weren't as talented at times when they went to the Super Bowl. But, you know, it was presented that way. And for Jalen, the reason why we're having all these conversations is because right now he's a lame duck. Mm. And what I mean by that is he's probably the only starting quarterback that doesn't have guaranteed money going into this season, if I'm not mistaken. So that's where, you know, most of these conversations stem from is the fact that, you know, Jalen has to play better. Jalen has to step up. Jalen's playing in a new offense, and Jalen has to show that he can adapt to the new environment that he's put in.
Let's talk to David in Westchester, up on WIP. David?
Joe Giglio, you should be a snake oil salesman.
What did I do now?
Are you serious? Hugh Douglas has been so on point the last 2 days.
I agree.
He has clarity. He has knowledge. He's been tearing you up. And if this were a debate, he would have just wiped the floor with you. Good job, Hugh. I am so proud of you right now.
Is this about the Rocky Balboa one?
Does feel like a setup a little bit.
Jalen Hurts is Rocky Balboa. I'm sorry, dude, but how'd you know that? You didn't know that.
I could feel. You have to have a feel for these things.
You do. And I reiterate, you should be a snake oil salesman because you take the littlest bit of fact. And I deal with people like this every freaking day, and it's so frustrating. So I sense huge frustration here. You take the little sliver of fact, and you just – it's like the crocheted socks that my kids got me for Father's Day. And you just pull it, and next thing you know what? You don't have any socks. And it's like you're that little kid. You're an annoying little kid that just keeps digging at you.
Yep.
And, you know, it's terrible. You know, you should respect you. He's your elder. He's an old man.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
He doesn't have much fight left. And, Hugh, I got your back, buddy. All right?
You know what, David? I never thought of the show like that. Maybe I should be –
Hey,
should
Dave, thanks a lot.
Take it easy on the elderly. I didn't think of it like that, David.
Yes. You know? I mean, you know, because I'm an old man, too. And you know what? I got a stint in my heart. And you're making my heart pump faster because it's like, how dare him treat – Eagles Hall of Famer like that, you know.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Started out so great.
You know what? I apologize. I apologize.
There you go, Joe. Unlike you, you are a big enough man to know when to apologize. Let's get on to them stinking Phillies. You're welcome, Hugh.
Thank you.
If you go on a vacation, listen, buddy, I will be down there with the picket sign. I promise you that. All right,
David, we got you, buddy. Good phone call. What? The crocheted socks are rough. Can't wear those.
Where do you get crocheted socks from? You have to order those from, that's not like a Temu.
Or somebody crocheted them
for you. Yeah.
Not many people do that anymore.
But that's pretty cool that somebody crocheted your socks that thought enough about you to do them. That's a pretty neat gift.
It's a thoughtful gift.
Yeah, well, that takes time. I mean, crocheting is not like a waste of time. Well,
but it does take time.
Well, I guess if you enjoy it.
I wouldn't mind a crocheted hat, though. Ooh. It was a lady that made crocheted Eagles hats.
Ooh, like a winter hat?
She was too rich for my blood. But they were nice.
Oh, you didn't buy one?
No, but I wanted one.
I thought you were about to go back to the Tinder thing.
No. It was too rich for my
swipe left.
No, it was too rich. They were too much.
Okay. Let's go to Thomas in Broomall. Thomas?
Hey, what's up? How's it going, guys?
Thomas, what's up?
So about the quarterback mm-hmm. thing. Like, so if the quarterback should only get the win and not the other teams, I know this might be, you know, out there, but then should the NFL Hall of Fame just have good quarterbacks?
You're saying I think I get your point. If they're that much more important than everyone, if they get the wins and they get the losses, should we just basically put, like, what's the point of the other players? Is it kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
But that
I guess then it should just be a quarterback Hall of Fame.
No, that makes no sense, because you have some players, like say Deacon Jones, who was before his time. Mm-hmm. When I think of the Hall of Fame, I think of guys that are before their time or throwbacks. Because like Myles Garrett, for what he's doing, to me, he's somewhat of a throwback. That's kind of like on the same level as a Bruce Smith or a Reggie White type. Mm. You don't have or Aaron Donald, because you don't have too many guys that can take over a game like that. So unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? It's just unfortunately for Myles Garrett, he couldn't take over the game enough to overcome being a Cleveland Brown. But there are certain guys their ability is just head and shoulders above everybody else in the era that they played in.
Gotcha. And I got a gift too.
But what do you got? Yeah, what do you got?
Thing too. So, okay. Well, I'll do the gift. So it's kind of off topic. So my dad's birthday is in February. I know it's not Father's Day, but I'll give you a Father's Day one. His birthday is always the week of the Super Bowl. So one year I gave him a brand new TV, but it wasn't the TV he was looking at. It was a 20-inch tube TV, very small. I'm like, happy birthday, Dad. Here's your Super Bowl TV, but we wound up getting a huge black screen at the end.
So it was like a gag gift.
That's pretty cool.
He thought he was getting a tiny TV. Yeah, that's funny.
Yep. So a warm case of flat beer. Like when you give, a panner or anybody, hey, that case needs to be cold. You should be able to drink it like in seconds. You're waiting for the beer to be cold because you have to put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
It's flat because it's been sitting out. And I would always put like a scratch-off ticket, one of those dummy scratch-off tickets where you win, but it's a joke. Yep. I don't know if they make them anymore.
I don't know if they do, but I remember those. That's a good one, Tom. Thomas, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. The warm flat beer. That's gross. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls on all this. The Phillies, are you in or you're out as this team on this team as a World Series team? Quarterbacks, do they get the wins and losses? Is wins a quarterback stat? And of course, we got to get to the little update here on the trade deadline. Not a great day for the Phillies yesterday. Not great news, or for me in particular, when it comes to the trade deadline.
Mostly for you.
Yeah, I'm going to take an L next. That's coming up. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.